Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. I'm your host, Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And back from his title defense of the BAO from 2018, and has been on the show quite some time, but we welcome him back with open arms, good old Don Hoosen.
Hey.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
So let's get right into the breaking news from all things Nottingham here. So if you haven't heard, Contrast Paints, if you wanted to try them out, you're probably already out of luck. Apparently, they've already sold out. So apparently, local retailers are having a difficult time getting their hands on meeting the demand of Contrast Paint, which is supposed to be coming out this weekend. Oops. But the good news is there's a ton of people now getting a lot more video online and getting an idea that the hype might be real. This stuff might actually be as good as promised.
Yeah, I've watched quite a few videos on YouTube about these new contrast paints. I've seen like Mini Wargaming. They've got one of the guys there have done quite a few using different styles of starting it out. Like he did one where he started off with a metallic basing. He did a video with zenithal highlights. He did one just a normal way. He's been doing quite a few. I haven't even watched all of them. He's got like five or six different videos going over it. And then I've also seen a few others who just kind of focused more on one aspect or the other. And I've kind of started to feel the hype on some of it, especially when it comes to some of the starting off with like a lead belcher or a runefang steel before applying the contrast.
Yeah, you sent me a copy of that, and I just watched it before the show started. That was amazing. With was a tarragon or I can't remember the name of the color,
but tarragon like turquoise.
Yeah. Oh my god, that looked awesome.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah. I know. I've also seen just. Even just the post all over Facebook of just people trying things out. There was one that was actually really awesome where there was someone that just put a whole bunch of bases up where they like base painted everything and they used different contrast colors on each of those base paints.
Yeah, if it's the images I think you're thinking of, it was actually someone at one of the GW stores.
Yeah, and that was it was just awesome seeing that little chart of like it was remember the old Allies Matrix where it had like Space Marines. And whatnot. It's basically like that. And when you found the point where the two lines met up, that was where the base was at with all the finished product on it.
It was really neat comparison because you could see the difference between the gray sear undercoat and the Wraithbone undercoat. And I think there's a pure white one.
It was the Korax white.
Korax white. Yeah. Okay. So that was, yeah, that was definitely, and it's something you can literally sit there and like, okay, what color do I want, and what's the closest to them? Oh, that'll work. Okay, cool. So I'm excited. I think the key with the videos and also the new app. So if you have the Citadel Paint app, it's going to be receiving an update after this weekend. It'll be the Citadel Color app. That's color with a U. Damn British. And so it should have all the new techniques. Bad news is I'm going to have to start writing. I hope they don't take off because there's a lot of key formulas I've been relying on the app to remind me how to paint my old models. So please don't take those away. But should be kind of, because one of the things they always say is, you know, one thick coat. Well, how thick? Because remember when they had that like crackle paint for bases? I took like 20 tries to get that right. So.
Well, that's one of the things that I think some of the videos have addressed.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to just glob the entire contrast pot onto one model.
Oh, I was going to dunk mine. I was going to do the dip method. So,
no, that's not quite going to work.
No, it's not going to work. But it does look pretty interesting. It doesn't mean the old methods are obsolete. But it definitely started thinking about some armies where I'm like, maybe that would save me some time. It's pretty amazing. So if you can get hands on your those paints, definitely try them out and then hoard them and put them on eBay. Just kidding. Other news. If you've been waiting for a Plastic Sister of Battle, wait no longer, because Warhammer Day is coming very shortly. Matter of fact, it is going to be June 29th, so end of the month. And if you arrive there timely, you too can purchase Sister Superior Amalia Novena. You might recognize her from the Princess Diary movie starting... I just blanked on her name. That would have been a funny joke if I got that down. But anyway, so this is the one we've seen previewed 100 times. It's the original one from the 7th edition rulebook, and this one with a really cool base. So that is actually a real model, and it's going to be a character, and she's going to be available for sale. And if you don't get it at Warhammer Day, then supposedly it's going to be available direct only shortly thereafter.
It's kind of interesting. I'm hoping we could see a little bit more of what the new sisters are going to be fairly soon. You know, I don't expect a whole lot of difference from the sisters at this point. You know, the basic infantry, they look great. But I'm at the point where I'm kind of hoping to see what other things we're going to see outside of the basic infantry.
I'm looking forward to the Penitent engine being redone. That is a beautiful concept for a potentially beautiful model.
Penitent engine was always one of my favorites. And I remember trying to put together an old metal one. And I was like, this is hell on earth. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
I loved that model. I did not like putting it together. And... if you didn't put it together like with like 10 hours worth of preparation, you'd be using it and then a part would just come off because it was so heavy.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Speaking of new models that raise, there's a hint. If you look through your Vigilus book, the first one, one of the scenes there shows one of the Imperial cities, and there's a... Sisters of Battle Flyer, which is unidentified. They don't talk much about it, but it's basically like a floating church. So I wonder if it's some sort of flying transport similar to the Corvus Black Star from Death Watch. Be curious to see what that looks like once the rules come out.
They must have stole it from the Dark Angels.
Ah, you beat me to it.
Nah. Flying Church.
Flying Church. Flying Churches. So, and if you need it's more church Flying Churches...
on the fly.
That's... oh... busy on Sundays. Oh, I mean,
it's 40. It's 40K. You've got flying churches. You've got churches in space. You've got churches on feet.
The good old Titans were definitely. They actually called their center areas cathedrals.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. And just a reminder.
Churches in space.
In space. Yes. If you need more churches in space, the Battlefleet Gothic video game is available from Steam. So take that.
What the game on tabletop.
Yes. Yeah, that's one thing that's frustrating is I think that's one of the few times the video game is better than the tabletop game. Because I was looking at some of the, they say, oh, you actually have full fleets for all these armies. Like, there's actually a Cult Mechanicus fleet in that game. There's actually a full Drukhari fleet. I'm trying to remember, there's another army. I was like, they have ships? Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think they have Corsairs in there too. Like, actual Corsairs.
Oh, wow, that I didn't see. I wouldn't be surprised, though. Don't know that they have Demiurge. That's the one thing I can't remember.
They do. They're part of the Tau fleet, though.
Okay. Well, that's how they were in the tabletop, too. So that's cool. Very cool. Speaking of dwarves, normally don't talk about this game too often, but Age of Sigmar is coming out with a General's Handbook. And Ray, you pointed out something peculiar about this release.
Yeah, so they announced that the section where they update points cost for match play is actually going to be in a separate small booklet that's going to come with it, but will not be part of it. And from what I've seen when it comes to, you know, Age of Sigmar and the new 40K, a lot of what we might see pop up in AOS tends to pop up one way or another in 40K. And I really think this is going to be one of those things that we see poured over for the players.
I think it could be handy. So one thing my friend always talks about is, you know, the points might be outdated, but some of the rules in those books aren't. So keeping the two separate might be a neat idea. Who knows?
Yeah. I got to be honest, if they do that, it'd be really cool if they would put the six different deployment types in that too, so I don't have to lug around the big book for that.
You don't have those memorized yet?
No, I don't.
I have finally gotten to the point where I do have them memorized, because I remembered all the weird deployments, but I can never remember the standard ones.
Yeah. Well, I might be done with school, but I still haven't had a chance to get another game in. So I still haven't had a game since the tournament back in early March, Don. It's been 3 months.
That means you have plenty of time to study.
And your model should be painted by now, with or without contrast paints. Anyways, and then in case you missed it, we mentioned it briefly last week's episode, but it bears just a reminder. So what's a person to do if you are planning on going to the LVO, which is the largest single Warhammer 40K tournament in the world? Well, you're on the wait list because, yeah, they sold out within 3 hours of tickets going on sale?
I think I heard six, but yeah, it was within that first day, it just blew out. So I was being tempted to do what I always do, which is wait like, you know, a week or so, you know, that way I don't have to worry about, you know, whatever bills just came in or whatever. But this time I had the stuff ready for it. So I'm like, all right, cool. Buy it. And then it's just like, it's gone. It's like, what?
Yeah, it's the same thing. I was usually like, oh, I'll wait, and I'll kind of mix them in. And for some odd reason, I know why I was awake. My darling son reminding me that British soccer's on at 5:30 in the morning on a Saturday. Yeah, I get up. Sure, that'd be great. And so there it was. And for some reason, my wallet was handy, and same thing. I was like, well, I actually have the money now. Might as well just. And I did the one-click option, so apparently I'm getting a T-shirt this year that I didn't expect to. Lucky me, I got in. I didn't realize that would be a thing by the time lunch was over. So the predicament is, if you're not going to the largest tournament, you're on the wait list. But if you are going to the largest tournament, you need to paint your army fast, you're going to have to wait for the contrast paints to make that happen. So my suggestion is start painting now. Don't be like me, who's painting in the hotel room the night before the tournament. I think at one point I was painting in the van on the drive up. It was bad. But no, it wasn't bad. The amount of tournaments we had this past weekend. So after the quick break, we will dive into our tournament coverage. We'll be back after this.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
Welcome back after the break. Lots of ITC action this past weekend. Several GTs to get into. We start off in Lake Country, British Columbia with the Amuel Bright Kelowna 40K GT. And your top five looks something like this. In fifth place, O'Reilly Carter with Forces of the Hive Mind. Fourth place, JT McDowell with Drukhari. Third place, Alex McDougall with Forces of the Hive Mind. Second place with the Imperium, Adam Green. And your winner with Orcs, by the way, Scott Winter Wilkie takes a perfect 5-0, actually 6-0, excuse me, only player to go a perfect 6-0 on the day to win the tournament this weekend. Quick look at his list. You've got...
He's Evil Sons.
What's that?
He's Evil
yes,
Sons.
Yes, he is. War Boss on bike, a weird boy, 3 units of troops. Looks like they are a full 30-man squads. Then he follows up with a second detachment of Bad Bones, featuring extra gubbins and shiny gubbins, specialist attachment. He does the Dreadwaugh, 2 Big Mechs, 3 units of 10 Gretchen, and a large blob of Ludas. Huh, funny. Last week Ben said Ludas were dead. He also has a Wasborn Blast the Jet, to the mix there was Wazboom, Mega Cannons, and a custom force field, and a special gun. So last attachment is another Bad Moon Battalion featuring two Weird Boys, three units of 10 Gretchen, and two Daka Jets with six Super Shooters.
So yeah, it looks like he took some inspiration from said Ben with the double Daka Jet, one Wazdoom bomb vest, but that thing.
Yep.
So, which can so, definitely do a lot, especially when it's rerolling ones to hit.
So it's mostly a shooty thing, or is it using also the move block as well?
You definitely use it as a shooty thing. I think the jet also has a custom force field that it projects out.
The character one does, yes.
The Wazbomb Blast Jet. Yep, custom force field.
So,
which will catch you off guard if you're not used to that big old bubble flying around at 20 plus inches a turn.
If I remember, it's still, what, a 5-up invul to everything?
Yep, which is doubling the durability on those 6-up armor save dudes, if not more.
So that's your event there, the up in British Columbia, the Ambule Bright Kelowna 40k GT.
Demon, fear my wrath!
We're going to move to the East Coast, Fredericksburg, Virginia, to the War in the Burg GT. Get it? Never mind. Fifth place, Jason Smith with Drukhari. Fourth place, Erwin Rodriguez with Chaos Space Marines. Third place, Mark Hertel with Imperium. And second place, with a late talk, Ivan Cho. And your winner is Austin Wingfield with Chaos. Also going a perfect 5-0, the only player to go undefeated on the day. His list, seen some of this pretty similar lately. Starts off with a Supreme Command attachment of Ahriman, a Master of Executions, and a Sorcerer, featuring Delightful Agonies, Diabolic Strength, Force Axe, and Marcus Lanesh. Then as a Lord of War of Mortarion. We're seeing a lot more of him lately. Adds a battalion of a Poxbringer. I don't know what this is. A contorted epitome.
The contorted epitome. It's the big old mirror that the two demonettes are hanging
on. Oh, that thing.
The Mortal Wound Soaker.
Excellent. Okay. It's got three troop choices in the form of a small unit of horrors, 10 pairs of brimstone horrors, and then two large blobs of plague bearers. It looks like 28 each. And then follows it up with another Supreme Command attachment featuring the Flawless Host. He also made them the Soul Forge pack, and he took three Lord Discordants.
I think this guy missed a golden opportunity. He made all of them Slanesh, which is a good idea for the Lord Discordants, that is. Especially when you actually have access to the Slanesh Locust that just makes them auto-advance and charge whenever they are within 6 inches of a Slanesh character. Unfortunately, he's running mixed demons, so he does not get access to that. So I actually have no idea why they're Slanesh. Is that for maybe Feel No Pain from a sorcerer? Yeah, he has Life Agonies. Yep.
I'm just trying to figure out the... so that the epitome kind of caught me by surprise there and for the, what that does.
So it's a double casting psyker that also stops things from flying back on 3d6. You have to roll under your leadership on 3d6 to fall back if you're within 6 inches of it. And that's everything, not models that can't fly, not models that are not infantry, you know, that kind of stuff. It's every model that tries to fall back that is not friendly to it. So I actually just looked at the Contorted Epitome's powers that he took. Mm-hmm. One of those is the Slanesh Demon fight in the psychic phase, which is what the Lord of Squirtons are going to do.
Ah, that makes sense now. So they're almost like they're kind of like an Ari, where they're getting two fight actions per turn to your one.
Yes. Ugh. All for the wonderful cast of one psychic power.
Yikes. Yeah, that's one of the things when those Slanesh units kind of slipped under the radar with the AOS release. So that definitely would catch a couple people off guard. Ducka, 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 ducka. Our next event brings us to Parsippany, Troy Hills, New Jersey. It's lovely that's time of year there. To the Mythicos Triumph 40K. And your top five looks something like this. In fifth place, you have Jared Parker with Astra Militarum. In fourth place, with Ultramarines, you have Patrick McHaney. McEnany, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Patrick. Third place, Eric Trock with Adeptus Custodes. Wow, he's still playing Custodes. That's awesome. Bill L. With Eldari. And then in first place, you have Chad Layton with Necrons. And when you look at this list, it looks very unassuming. And Don had explained it to me. I felt like a four-year-old. So it starts off with a battalion, Emotech, Cryptech, Cloak, Staff, Light, pretty straightforward. 3 units of 5 Immortals with Tesla Carbines, 2 units of Tomb Blades with Tesla Shields, 1 with a Scope, 4 Destroyers, 3 Doomsday Arcs, and then he adds a Sawtuck Air Wing of 3 Doom Sights. It literally fits on a napkin. So what makes this list so special? Don, that's your cue.
It's an RTT?
I don't care at this point.
Oh, for two? No, he's going with it.
I decided I want to talk about this list. I don't care if there are 8 people showed up for this tournament.
Fair enough.
All right. So he's running a whole lot of Sawtuck to go with his 3 min squads of Immortal Tesla, blah, blah, blah. The big thing that Sawtuck has going for it is if they do at least 1 damage to an enemy unit, they can pop a stratagem that makes it so that all other Sawtuck units get +1 to hit. If you know anything about Tesla, that's a great, wonderful thing when you're going from exploding on 6s to exploding on 5s, and that also makes you guys that hit on 3s hit on 2s. On top of that, they also have a wonderful little thing where Emotech or any Overlord can go, my will be done, and gives everyone +1 to hit, move, advance rolls, and I think attacks. Emotech in particular can do this twice. So that hits 2 of those mortal units. And then there's a stratagem that allows them to do it 1 more time. So it hits all 3. So you're basically taking your 15 immortals that are shooting 30 shots. And on a 4-up, you're doing 3 hits per shot, and you're hitting on 2s. So it's a lot of punishment. But it doesn't stop there. It also works on the Doomsday Arcs, the Doom Scythes, everything that's Sawtuck.
So to summarize, the quick summary of this is, Ray, I want my Emotech back. Because this list sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm getting it back from Ray anytime soon.
We can talk about that later. I can discuss why that's not going to happen.
So I think it's a pretty genius list. And then if you look at the competition that was at that particular event, had to really execute his list to the fullest to get to that top spot. So congratulations there. Be curious to see if that list catches on.
Faith is our shield.
We now head to the Great White North of Halton Hills, Ontario, where 38 players showed up for the Hooded Goblin GT. So a quick look at the top 5 for that particular event. Dylan Xavier. I've never seen Xavier spelled with a Z before. That's pretty cool. So Dylan Xavier with Chaos. 4th place, someone we've talked about quite a bit on the show, Devin Swan with Tau Empire coming in 4th. In 3rd place, with Forces of the Hive Mind, you have Dustin Henshaw. 2nd place, after taking a rough second round loss, he was able to crawl his way back into 2nd place, Josh Death with Imperium. And your winner and friend of the show, glad to see him back on top with Jukari, none other than Ridvan Martinez. Most of you know him as Skari from Skardcast. So his list is pretty much what he's talked about when he's been on the show. He hasn't really changed it too much. Starts with the Spearhead Detachment from Blackheart, featuring a Archon, and 3 Ravagers and 2 Razorwing Jet Fighters. He then takes a Cursed Blade Battalion featuring 2 Succubi, 1 with a Shardette and Impaler, 1 with Archite Glaive, and then looks like 3 units of 10 Witches, so just the bare minimum, but he's loaded them out with the max number of Shardettes, so he's looking at 10 Shardettes in that battalion alone. Lastly, it finishes out with a Flayed Skull Battalion featuring 2 Archons, both with blasters, 1 with a Phantasma Grenade Launcher, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, looks like 6 Gabalite Warriors, minimum 5 with the, all of them with a Shredder as a special weapon, and then adds in 2 units of 5 Mandrakes, And then everybody gets, looks like, their own personalized Venom with one Raider. And question every Dark Elder SS, two Splinter Cannons or Twin Splinter Rifle and Splinter Cannon? He went with the cheaper option of the Twin Splinter Rifle. So this is kind of the textbook what Drukhari armies look like these days.
Yeah, I've been seeing him post stuff about it and talking a little bit about his games, a little bit about the list, and I kind of like the list.
Got a lot of fast-moving elements to really dominate on holding objectives, and I'm still on the fence about the small units of witches. I always find the bombs to be more durable, but I don't know. Don, what do you think of that?
It's the greatest issue of all the cream filling in the world, where you just keep popping things and more things keep popping out of it. So it works. And if, assuming that you are able to tie things now, especially those chardonnets and whatnot, you just go, all right, well, you're done. You're not shooting me. While all my army with these billion, how many Venoms do you have? Like 10? If I remember right.
Say that again. Number.
How many Venoms did he have? Like 10?
No, he only had like 6. That's what I was kind of...
I must have switched back. Yeah. That, yeah. But yeah, he's all over the board, taking all the objectives with all the obstacle stuff that stopped you from moving.
Yeah, 6 Venoms and a Raider. So... But yeah, you're right. He just, you also got to mention he's got the 3 Ravagers and he's got the 2 Planes as well. So he's got, nothing in his army is slow. And he's all over the board where he wants to be.
To the last man and the last round!
And our last event of the weekend, we talked about this at length. Well, we talked about what they served at this event, but there's actually some 40K being played. And that is the Beef and Wing Brawl. And I just saw some great pictures of that. Thank you for sharing that on Facebook. Appreciate that. If you're a loyal listener and you're going to an event, feel free to upload some pictures. Let us know. We always like to see what some of these events look like from across the world. So your top 5 from the Beef and Wing Brawl looks something like this. 5th place, Jim Vessel. Yeah, the Canadian Conqueror did not finish in a top spot this weekend. 4th place, Isaac Bates with Drukhari. 3rd place, Tim Dietliffs with Eldari. In 2nd place, Gene Steeler Cult is Nick Nadavati. He did go perfect 5-0, as did Tim, but it wasn't enough to overtake TJ Lanigan for the top spot with Chaos Space Marines.
So looking at the final round, it looks like part of what we see happen is Jim Vessel played Nick Nanavati. They had a close game because Nick won with 24 and Jim had 23 points.
He did indeed. I'm just taking a quick look. TJ played Ian Stewart in the final round. And Ian, I believe, is... I think that
looking at 14th,
and it looks like TJ took that one 41-11, so that was a pretty convincing win there. And then Tim, who also went undefeated, he ended up playing Erwin Armitage. It's a great name. Love that name. So it should be like a sidekick to James Bond, and who ended up coming in 11th. But even that game was pretty close, as Tim was only to beat him 30-28. So some real tight games there at the end. It was the one big blowout that by TJ to get the full 41 points was enough to give him the win for this particular event.
What? All right, I need to actually look at this. What did TJ actually have for his
list? Let's talk about TJ's list. So he starts off with a battalion of demons with a changecaster, a pox spring, and a sloppity bile piper. And then in the troop slot, he brought 29 pink horrors and 29 plague bearers, and a second unit 29 plague bearers. Yep, both with an icon. Then he starts a supreme command detachment, 1,000 sons, featuring Ahriman and 2 demon princes. And then a vanguard detachment of Death Guard, featuring a demon prince of Nurgle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Blightlord Terminators. 2 foul blight spawns, and then he has, looks like 10 points. I'm trying to read this. 10 reinforcement points for summoning. I never knew you could do that on Battlescribe. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the reason why he does that is for his horrors. It's a thing that Jim Bessel's known for, where he'll charge you this horror squad. He'll kill one in Overwatch, and then he'll pop out a Brimstone to be closer to you to make the charge easier.
Interesting. Okay, good to know.
But, yeah, his list looks funny to me for getting a 41-point win. I don't see how that's possible. Considering that, I'm assuming they're playing, is it round?
Six.
Five yeah. rounds. What's, five rounds. So what position is that? That's one where you guys both place one, you have to hold both ears? I might have been able to, actually, now that I think about it. You just have to hold the two that you place, which means one near, most of the time in your deployment, and then one that's right on the edge of your opponent's deployment zone.
Yeah, probably, what do you think? He'd probably destruct the Blightlord Terminators on his opponents and to move me off.
They shouldn't have been able to get there, but like the horrors could do it and obsec it.
Okay.
I mean, unless the Blightlords somehow just came down, made their charge, and crashed through everything to get onto it. Which, I mean, he does have two rerolls to make that charge. Gaze of Fate and the command point.
Well, just so kind of go over the guy he played in the final round, his list looks something like this. He starts with the Adeptus Custodes Outrider Detachment, featuring Shield Captain on Dawn Eagle Jetbike, a Vexilis Praetor with Misericordium. And in the fast attack slot, he's got one, two, three units of Virtus Praetors, one unit of four, two units of three. And then he rounds it out with a battalion of Astra Militarum, featuring company commander and a Primaris Psyker, and three infantry squads. And then finally, a super heavy auxiliary featuring a
Crest Knight,
Questor Mechanicus, House Crest. Night Crusader, Avenger Gatling Gun, and Rapid Fire Battle Cannon.
Funny thing is that Crass Knight actually has a really hard time with, the Crass gimmick is blowing up 10 wound plus models. And TJ doesn't have a whole lot of those.
So I think that's kind of, you look at that matchup. Do you think the Custodes had enough firepower, enough bullets to get through all those bodies?
Not the Blightlords. Yeah, Custodes don't like Blightlords. But everything else can get picked up in almost no time at all. So it would be interesting to see that game. I just, generally speaking, don't see how a list like TJ's can get 41 points. Especially, I know for sure it can never get 42 points. But I don't see how it can possibly get 41 points against anyone that doesn't want it to. it's not fast enough. It's not Eldar. It's just not.
All right. So those are your tournaments from the past weekend. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back after the break. Time for your ITC Top 10. Some of the scores from this past weekend are not reflected in this Top 10. We'll be updating that later in the week. Check us our Facebook page, not only for the ITC Top 10, but we're back with the power quotient that we talked about in previous seasons. Now we're about halfway through the ITC season. We've been ranking your top players, see how well they do under pressure situations, and having our own Top 10 power ranking among ITC top players. So number 10, according to the ITC, 10th place, Daniel Hester is at 928 points. 9th place, Andrew Ford. 8th place, Joe Malum from England at 950 points. Dallas's own Matthew Ali occupies the 7th spot. Manny Chima in 6th place. John Lennon from Florida is in 5th place. Richard Siegler in 4th. Nick Nanavati from the East Coast is in 3rd. TJ Lanigan from the Great White North occupies the 2nd spot. And the Canadian Conquerors, despite having a rough weekend, coming only in 4th, is still able to hold on to the top spot with 1,141 points. Ray, what events do we have coming up this coming weekend?
All right. As of right now, we've got
The Gentleman's GT and ladies, major edition in Las Vegas. We've got the Carolina Crusade in Concord, North Carolina. And then we have, hold on, give me a second. Culture Foreningen. It's
awesome. Nailed it.
It's Swedish. It's hard to read. But in Stockholm, Sweden.
We talked to Ben last week about the Gentleman's GT. Don't forget, there's also an award for being the most dapper dressed person at the event. It was funny, right after I talked to him last week, I was like, I found a suit and tie matchup that would actually match my army. I thought that would be really cool to wear to that tournament. Wouldn't that be cool? I'd be like, oh, look at this.
That would do really well for the long war doubles. But I know last year when we went to the Gentleman's GT, there was a guy that was dressed up in like 1700s colonial whatnot with like a powdered wig, and he's the one that won it. So if you're going there for the Dapper Award, you have to work for it. There are people that go all out. I unfortunately go for the most.
Oh, so you bring your dress sweatpants
in the comfy clothes section of Dapper. Yes,
I was about to say
leisure also suit. Called scrubs. But if you go there and you just want to have, you know, when I went there last year, extremely calm, laid back. They actually were running the tournament out of a bar restaurant thing. So it was kind of nice going between rounds to, you know, go grab drinks for people or, you know, just have food. I think they have to be having a different place. The place that I had last year barely held the 40 of us or whatnot that were there last year. And this year it's 80 or something like that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that's like, but they're a good group of people. Looking forward to going back there. And if I win it all, I'll be jumping in the top five.
We look forward to it. So right now you're hanging, what, 13th right now?
I think I dropped down to 16th with the events that got scored.
Okay. So we'll look for that and keep charting your progress. Don't be a stranger, too. Have you back on the show. I know it's difficult for you to make our recording dates, but... we'll have you back on. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Not sure thing.
So thank you also for joining us this evening on the Exterminatus podcast. If you have any other questions, concerns, comments, we also put up a poll what you'd like to see on our YouTube page. We've been right now adding a few funny pictures to go along with the audio content of this podcast. But if you want to see some other items on there, please leave us a message there on our Facebook page. In the meantime, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening.
And I'm Don.
Oh, and Don. And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.
Yay. So, Ray, what was that?
What did I just send you? The Harlequin list I've been toying with.
It looks like you have a lot of Skyweavers.
Here it comes.
No, there's one for each troop. At least there should be.
No, Skyweavers, not Starweavers.
Starweavers. Bikes.
Yeah.
And the way that it's showing on there, it makes them look like they're all one-man units.
I can't help how these things work together. Yeah, no, there's 12.
So it's three squads of four?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
There are no troops in this. Oh, no, there is. It's so hard to read their thingy. Yeah.
The sound of displeasure. So the good news is there's some models in your list.
Well, so the obvious first thing is you only have one Shadow Seer, which is bad. The Shadow Seers are what keep Harlequins from being squished outright.
Mm-hmm.
They also have amazing psychic powers and the ability to just spam mortal wounds for the hell of it. And troop masters are not really that great. I'm not sure why you put a Nerd Disruptor on one.
I got one in a trade that was equipped like that.
Gotcha.
It's pretty much the only reason.
Yeah. Because troop masters, I would give the caresses, not the embraces or the kisses. It sounds so gay right now.
Yeah. You know, there's a reason why Don hasn't been on the podcast in a while.
Because of the caresses, the embraces, and the kisses, right?
Among other things, yes.
Yeah, I probably, if he could, well, it's actually not even if he could, just do the same thing I would did. Turn all of the kisses and embraces into caresses. Just chop it down so that all the like the spiky part of the kiss, you just chop the tip off, so it just turns into a ball in her hand. And it's just the glove at that point. And I think the embraces are basically the same thing. It's just it's a very bulbous shape thing that pops out of there, but it should still be able to get clipped back to basically being a ball.
Okay.
Because, yeah, especially with troop masters, they make the caresses a murder fest. Because it's a whole lot of strength 5, AP 2, 1 damage attacks with rerolling the wounds is the big part.
Okay.
I was about to ask you, I always get the names mixed up. There's a strength 5 one, there's a strength 4 one with the minus 3, and then there's the...
Only on 6s.
What's that?
Is that only on 6s?
The, what should we call it? The embrace?
Oh, I was thinking of the caress. Yeah. I think the embrace is the one that I just never, ever cared about, even back when it was Hammer of Wrath hits.
And then the kiss is the
because
D3 damage one, right?
Yep. And I no, it's not,
the kiss is plus one minus one D3. The caress is plus two minus two one, and the embrace is plus one minus three one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need the strength 5.
Yeah, because strength 5. Turns all the math, like even going up against Titans, it makes all the math just so much easier to just throw damage on people. And when you're playing Harlequins, you have to kill everything you hit. Because even in melee, you cannot get hit back. Unless you, of course, have it buffed a crazy amount.
Okay.
And you usually can only do that for one turn because then you've spent all your command points. Or you can only really buff one.
Yeah. I actually do like the idea of running a whole bunch of Harlequins as Yunari because, for one thing, I don't think that the masks actually do much for them aside from the Dancing Star, whatever it is, the plus one attack on the charge.
Frozen Star.
Yeah. So aside from that, none of the masks tremendously help out with what Harlequins do compared to making them all hit on twos.
And then if you can get on your opponent's turn, you always swing first. It's a great way to stay alive. Like I said, things didn't go your way on your turn. Let me swing again to make sure I eliminate you before you swing at me. So,
yeah.
I don't know, there's two mask forms that I'm actually kind of fond of. I like the Veiled Path one.
That's what I used to run. I found that I never either never remembered to roll for it, or it never really mattered because I just burned through my opponent. Because no one wants to get close to Harlequins unless they're Berserkers.
Right. And then the other one I like is the Dreaming Shadow.
And I forgot which one's that.
When a unit with this form fails a morale test, only one model must flee. And then...
you won't have to worry about that.
Yeah, when a model with this form is slain or flees, roll a d6 before removing the model, and on a 4+, the model can either shoot or fight.
So that is definitely more of a fusion pistol spam type thing. Because their fighting is, for one dude, it's not going to do a whole lot. The Harlequins are weight of attacks, and one dude's not going to do anything. Also, losing one model of morale will never happen because they're either going to kill you outright or not hurt you at all. With your leadership of 8. Unless you're running giant troops, like 12-man troops.
I like that one too. Not so much with the mask, but I remember they had a mask-specific stratagem that allowed you to ignore Overwatch. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah, there's also a relic for that.
Yep.
Granted, if you're Yunnar, you don't get out of those. But, right. But that's when you just bring your little...
Howling Banshees?
You know, Supreme Command of... Or whatever you do to get your Solitaire. Because he can't be Yunnar. And then you give him that if you're really worried about Overwatch.
I forgot what's a Raiment Starmist or Starmist Raiment. I forgot what it was. So yeah, it's a relic.
Yep, but most of the time you just want to use the Sacred Rose.
Yeah.
Granted, when you're playing against Tau, when they don't have infantry, nor is going to use that.
Or so your army.
Take Starmist. And you go, I'm going to charge everybody. I advance, so you can't do anything. Ha ha. It made me sad though. You can't blitz and advance at the same time anymore. No. So if you do that and you blitz, you can't ignore a watch, even though you're going faster.
Strange.
But it's just kind of something that I worked on because I've suddenly found myself with about with roughly 1,000 points of Harlequins.
Harlequins are one of those weird armies that, for one, they're not forgiving in the slightest, and two, if the table's not good, you lose.
Yeah. I don't know. It hit me sometime in like late April, really early March, that I'm like, I kind of want to play try playing Harlequins. And it just never, that desire to try never went away. So, build and paint 1,000 points, see if I enjoy it, and go from there.
Like I said, I definitely think that Yunnar is better for them. Because it gets around a whole lot of their issues. Not to mention, it's kind of funny just watching a troop master take half damage and heal a wound every turn, and then on a 4+ not die.
Yeah, it's kind of never. I also like the Shadow Seer replacing dead Harlequins. I like that a lot.
I don't think I'm familiar with that part.
The new Song of Ened. Well, everybody read it and goes, oh, that's what you use on Wraithguard because it heals D3 units, D3 wounds on a model. But if there's no damaged units in the damaged models in the unit, it just brings back a dead model. So you can basically replace one of your Harlequins, your 20 point Harlequins per turn.
Nice.
But you're right, though. I mean, you got to keep the unit alive long enough for that to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you mix and match with the Incarn nearby. So now they also have the 4-up Invul and a 6-up Fionnuala Pain.
Yep, and the Fearless.
And Fearless.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Incarn makes everybody Fearless.
Yeah.
Well, every Eldari Fearless. Yeah.
Just don't be stupid like me and put your Incarn in the wrong spot every turn.
But yeah, I can definitely see like running like 10 troops. Just running at people. Doing your ninja thing through the ninja ruins. Yeah. And just showing up and awkwardly caressing them.
God, had to make it danger weird. Touch. Danger touch.
Had to make it weird again. It's like watching Japanese porn.
Just when you think the plot's getting good, then they're like, oh no, there's a tentacle.
Yeah, exactly. So like, what's he gonna do with the why is there produce there? Oh no, God, no, what are you doing? Turn it off, turn it off. Oh. All right, moving on to the tournaments. You guys ready?
Yeah.
I was going to say this is like a blooper reel at the end. It just got ugly fast. So.
You can take clips out of it.
You got the last part.
Yeah. Okay.